This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We got Love and we got Tua. If only Love's name was Hawk, it would have really just gone really viral.
Hawk Tua.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
People who think it's not Tua's world, he's really good.
Today's guests, Chargers general manager Joe Hortiz, basketball Hall of Famer Mike Krzyzewski, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt, WWE superstar The Miz. And now, it's Rich
Eisen.
That's
right. That's right. You know what I mean? That's right. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show.
Did you forget what you're going to say?
No. I'm just excited to be here. I'm just saying that's right. Hey. I'm confirming it is the Rich Eisen Show. In my eyes, see.
My eyes, see.
That's where we're starting. 844-204-RICH, number to dial on this program. And trust me, we'll get to you. We've got a lot going on here today. One of the many reasons I love doing this program is that we just have guests from all over the pop culture landscape, and we just put them in the same blender and serve you a delicious sports and information entertaining smoothie every single day. And hour number three is that perfect example. The Miz in studio and then Coach K by Zoom.
How about that?
The Miz and Coach K.
That's what's up.
Kyle Brandt is making his way to our studio. He just got freshly finished with Good Morning Football Overtime, which you can see right here every day on the Roku channel. And Kyle is in town in Los Angeles, as Good Morning Football has famously moved coasts. He'll be here in studio hour number two. Our new neighbor from across the street. The general manager of the Los Angeles Chargers, nice. Joe Hortiz, just arrived.
All right.
We're installing him in our green room. We're rolling out the red carpet for him. And we're gonna make him flip tires and move heavy equipment, because that's what you do when you're part of the Los Angeles Chargers organization with Jim Harbaugh in the
from
mix.
The top down, right?
Here, coach.
Can't wait. He'll be joining us in a matter of moments. And then there's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Good to see you, Chris Brockman.
Hey,
how are you?
Rich, I'm great, man.
You doing all right? Because you were using the jackhammer Thera thing.
You know what it is? Hotel beds and the pillows just jack me up.
Is that what happened?
And so I'm just kind of still working out some kinks.
You're blaming where Bonetta put you up for her wedding?
No, wedding before when I was in the middle.
I see.
I'm still recovering.
Oh, wow, 2 weeks?
Two
weddings ago.
Middle of nowhere, Maryland.
I can't keep up with you.
Yeah, I know.
Gravy boats for everybody.
Man, I'm wedding now.
Good to see you, Mike Del Tufo. He's dropped crazy right now.
I'm stopping. I'm done.
What's going on?
How you doing, Rich? Good morning.
See ya. TJ Jefferson.
What up?
You ready to ask the Miz a question to get us aggregated by the wrestling community?
Obviously. You know, also, Rich,
yes, sir?
What you said about Chris is there's sometimes I do wish the cameras could catch what goes on pre-show.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah. And in this moment in particular, yes. I'm saying, when Chris was working out Theragun on his shoulder, he was making some sounds, and you looked up and you said something out loud. Man,
I couldn't even hear it because I got like a Model A.
Yeah, that thing, that Theragun is like the
so
oldest.
Honestly,
it does sound like they're jackhammering upstairs from us.
You thought they were actually.
I did.
I thought. What are they doing?
I'm like, wait a minute, there's going to be some construction going on?
Your response was amazing.
We have three in studio guests. We can't have construction going on upstairs.
Exactly. I need an upgrade.
Well, at any rate, we'll have the Miz play the win-loss game for the Cleveland Browns later on.
That's super necessary.
Oh, baby.
We'll do that before we let him go off into his Los Angeles day. And so once we were done with yesterday's program, Chris Brockman and I stayed after class, did the latest edition of the Overreaction Monday podcast. We haven't done that since the middle of June.
Yep.
I think we did it just to celebrate OTAs happening.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Exactly.
But now training camps are fully in full swing. We got teams in pads. We've got a preseason game happening in two nights from now.
Fights are happening at camp.
Yeah, you're
camp
seeing
fights.
That.
Yeah, buddy.
Camp fights.
Let's go.
And across the way in the new Chargers facility, you're seeing Jim Harbaugh being Jim. Dragging people around, flipping tires. So that's available where you get all your podcasts. So do us a favor. Follow that that stream and RSS feed for Overreaction Monday. And give us a follow for all 3 hours of the Rich Eisen Show. You can catch up on everything that we do. And that's how we're going to start today's program. We've got Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Tuesday. And that's how we're going to lead our show. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage. This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday. Monday. On a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday. All right, Chris. You gave us some good ones for the podcast version. I don't know if there's any that you put in the microwave to reheat for this one.
No, I didn't reheat any.
Okay, cool.
I'm like the chef, man. I change the menu every day.
I like it. That's a non-negotiable.
Non-negotiable.
Yes, chef.
Changing the menu every day.
Yes, chef.
Everybody good? Tuesday, everybody good?
Yes, chef.
Still great, man.
All right.
Can I borrow the Theragun?
He won't be able to hear
this segment. Please, no more.
A couple years ago, the Cardinals were the last undefeated team. That was so shocking.
I remember that.
Oh, that's right.
We were like 7-0.
They were.
Whoa, the Cardinals?
Yes.
Guess who's back? Guess who's healthy? Kyler Murray. The Cardinals are going to be the last undefeated team in the NFC West. Oh,
in the NFC West.
Let's look at this here.
Put up the Cardinals schedule.
In the NFC West.
Let's just put up the Cardinals schedule to show how off this guy is.
You're not even going to like,
because I know what their first game is. You think they're going into Western New York and beating the Bills in week one? Is that a yes? And then they come to Los Angeles,
where
the Rams love using them as like a catnip play toy. That's how they handle the Cardinals in SoFi. And then they got the Rams at home. Then they got the Lions at home.
No way.
They do have three in a row at home.
That's true.
Chris,
the Bills aren't going to be as good as people think.
Let me just say this. I am somebody who put the Cardinals as the lead sleeper team in the NFC.
Yeah,
in my top five,
I'm with you.
In
on
my
that,
top
man.
Five teams in the NFC, in the NFL, yeah. Sleeper teams. Number one, I put the Titans. Number two, I put the Cardinals. So I think the Cardinals are, or no, the Commanders and then the Cardinals. I think they're going to be a sleeper team is what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
Right?
I'm with you.
And I also said Kyler Murray is the most underrated difference maker in the NFL this year because nobody's talking about
you
him.
You should have my back here.
But to say that they will last longest with a zero underneath the L column in the division that has the defending NFC champs.
Guys, San Francisco and the Rams might lose week one to the Jets. Okay? The Rams might lose week one against the Lions. All I need.
Oh my God, Jack Wagner? You're going Jack Wagner?
Yeah. There's a little Kyler one more time.
Overreaction. Onward. Wow. Onward.
Man, I thought I'd get more out of that.
Onward.
You are dismissed.
Onward.
Did you see what John Elway said yesterday?
What did he say?
John Elway said one of his big regrets is, you know, running the Broncos, not taking Josh Allen in 2018. I know we're playing the results maybe a little bit, John,
Who did he take instead?
He said that to, did he take instead? He said that to PFT and Big Cap. If the Broncos had drafted Josh Allen, he'd have a Super Bowl win already.
Look at you, dude. Oh, he took Bradley Chubb instead.
Yeah, Bradley Chubb instead.
Yeah, he passed on Josh Allen.
Didn't work out.
Wow.
For Big John.
What year would they have won the Super Bowl?
I don't know. One of them.
Okay.
One of them.
I will say
Mahomes would have less than three Super Bowls.
I'll say that's an overreaction.
Josh Allen would have one.
I didn't see what the
You could make a case that John Elway might still be in the front office if that's what he really wanted to keep doing.
Oh, because for sure.
I don't think
Josh Allen would be a champion.
I totally
by
get
now.
It that you're regretting that he would have been a dynamite Bronco.
Wouldn't have had the Bills stink on him, right? He'd have that Super Bowl legacy
this
of Patriot Broncos
fan
right
over there.
Stink.
Look at you.
He'd have the pedigree behind him.
Chris, you realize that the Broncos since then have never had a winning record, right?
They didn't have Josh Allen.
But like they weren't even.
But Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Your point that the Bills have disappointed with Josh Allen at the controls and have let him down roster-wise, I would push back to say, Unfortunately for him, you know, Mahomes was drafted the year before, and the Chiefs have.
They started at quarterback the same year.
They have ascended at the wrong time. Like he's the Phil and the Tiger, you know, payday years.
One.
I get it, which is what I think he will do in Buffalo.
I mean, look, this will be the Broncos' sixth starting quarterback.
That's what I'm saying.
If you're saying John Elway, if you're saying that this John Elway was right that he laments choosing Bradley Chubb over Josh Allen, not an overreaction. If you're saying the Broncos would have won a Super Bowl with Josh Allen in a way that he did has been unable to do
in Buffalo,
I will say that's an overreaction.
That's way more fun.
If you're saying you're a Patriot troll who's miserable with his own situation trying to jump on the Bills being supposedly vulnerable right now, I'll say that that's not an overreaction. I think that's spot on.
I said Josh Allen is the most underrated quarterback yesterday.
In the podcast version.
In the podcast version.
What else you got, Chris?
That was yesterday.
What else? Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday, right, starting off.
Go. I'm enjoying this.
Here we go. You know who's back? You know who's back and healthy again?
Who's back, Chris?
Backstreet.
Cooper Kupp is going to remind everyone who he is this year.
I agree. I'm with you. And that's why people are, I think, are sleeping on the Rams a little bit.
I'm shocked by that. Because last year, Rich, Chris thought Cooper Kupp was kind of on the downside. Now you're saying he's going to pick it back up?
Well, guess what? He might actually
he's got some help now, and he doesn't have to do everything himself.
I was about to say.
And now he's healthy.
Cooper might see more
single coverage.
Well, I don't know about let's
zone.
Put it this way.
You got
he will see more exploitable coverage than he's used to. Because that other kid is going to get better.
And ooh. Stafford got paid, so now he's happy.
And guess what? The running back room's better.
Running back room's better.
Oh, baby. I'm with you. That's not an overreaction at all.
I think that's going to be fun.
Do you take him top 10 in first round in fantasy?
No.
Late round pick in fantasy? You do not?
No.
You pick him up middle of the third, I would say.
You think he's going to be available middle of the third round in fantasy drafts?
Some people look at last year's stats and think maybe he... That's what I'm counting on, is what I'm saying.
I wouldn't mind taking him as my first wide receiver after I take a running back or two.
Okay. I'm just saying,
Chris?
Wide receiver 23. You can get him. You can wait on Cooper Kupp.
So people are sleeping on him.
All right. We've been talking so much about the unknown of the kickoff. We mentioned it on the podcast yesterday.
Correct.
Possible Debo maybe setting the return touchdown record.
Yeah. Can you imagine he returns kicks for the Niners and he finds a crease and it's him one on one with the kicker all the time?
Yeah. Let me tell you what's going to happen every time.
A lot of touchdowns.
There's a new rule now coming in this year that kickers are not allowed to place the ball horizontally on the tee.
Okay.
Why?
We're going to miss the onside kick this season.
Yeah,
the onside kick has essentially been eliminated from the NFL rule book, and they haven't. We don't have a fix yet,
right?
In terms of a play, a 4th and 15, or what have you. We're gonna miss the onside kick,
especially since you have to declare if you do
that
the onside kick.
It. There's no surprise.
Like, hey, everybody, let's not line up on your side of the field.
So preposterous.
Come on back. We are going to onside kick. Hey, everybody. There's no surprise factor the onside kick, even though you know when you need to use it, everybody knows you're gonna do it. Sure, why not?
We're going to miss that play.
Onside kick recovery rate is 5.6% as of last year.
Because the league has killed it by declaring that you can't load up on one side.
How about this? Let me spice it up. At some point, well, spice it up when you're talking onside kick. I mean, it's not the spiciest thing here. But we will at some point have the loudest cry yet from either people like me or fans in general like me that it's time to use a 4th and 15 play. Let's figure out what an actual offensive play from your own 30-yard line looks like in lieu of an onside kick.
Yeah.
So
I bet that gets fixed.
Well, you got one more over there, Chris? We got Joe Ortiz,
right,
the general manager of the Los Angeles Chargers.
I got two baseball real quick. Bobby Witt Jr., I cannot get enough of this.
Hey, how about George Brett last week saying that he is the best young Royal he's ever seen?
Dude, and he's on fire.
George Brett talked him up big time. So
Bobby Witt Jr. is going to win AL MVP.
There is a guy with 99 runs batted in and wears number 99, and there's 99 problems when he steps into play. Aaron Judge is, Bobby Witt Jr. is terrific. Great. Love it. Two saludes, sir.
And 350.
And by the way, I think he had some short left field deep in the hole.
Unbelievable. Walk off
with that play.
Unreal. Dude's unbelievable.
But Aaron Judge is mashing it right now like Bonds did. Aaron Judge is potentially having a better year than the year he hit and he broke Maris's record. He's unbelievable now. So
I'm just getting back at you.
That's an overreaction.
Jason Tatum yesterday.
What
that's
else,
all.
Chris?
That's all. All right, last one. Someone from the wild card, they're going to win the World Series.
Oh, I don't.
One of these wild card teams is going to do it.
I like that.
I don't think any of the current leaders of divisions right
off.
Now. Include the Phillies right now have lost what, 7 of 11
my
or
socks
eight,
off.
11. I'm
talking about Yankees, Twins, Royals, Sox, Braves, Mets, Padres, D-backs. One of those teams is winning.
And I say this even knowing if you ask this question on tomorrow's show, Yanks might not be a wild card team anymore.
Oh.
They'd be in first place.
There you go.
That's what I'm saying. I'm with you. Oh, it's all one big mosh pit now. Just make the tournament and get catch fire
catch
like
fire.
The Diamondbacks.
Catch fire, just like last year.
Right?
I like that.
Rangers last year.
All right, Overreaction Monday and a Tuesday. Thank you, sir, for that. Everybody, again, check out Overreaction Monday, the podcast. Chris Brockman and I chopped up all sorts of NFL topics, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts, including all 3 hours of this show. Hour number three, The Miz in studio, Coach K on the program. Hour number two, Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football and Good Morning Football Overtime in studio. He's never been here in person. That'll be a lot of fun. But when we come back, the general manager of the Los Angeles Chargers, our new neighbor across the street here in El Segundo, California, Joe Hortiz is here. That's next. This is The Rich Eisen Show. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Rich Eisen here for Sleep Number. They say opposites attract. And that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is the best bed for couples. I can confirm exactly that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference. You can choose what's right for you whenever you like. If you like a bed that feels firm, but they want soft, Sleep Number does that. You want to sleep cooler while they like to feel warm. Sleep Number does that too. You have to feel it to believe it. Find the bed that's perfect for both of you only at a Sleep Number store. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, Sleep Number smart beds starting at $999. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku channel. Our radio audience will rejoin us shortly, so this will be the first of two times I welcome in for the first time on this show and in person, the general manager of the Los Angeles Chargers, Joe Hortiz. Good to see you, sir.
Good to see you. Appreciate you having me.
Thanks for being here. I appreciate you dealing with all of that vaunted El Segundo morning commute traffic.
Yeah, a lot of traffic out there today. About a 6-minute drive. Josh and I drove over, and it's awesome. The proximity to here, it's great.
I love it. Yeah, it's terrific. Awesome. By the way, this sounds like that SNL skit, The Californians. Remember that back? You just go to Nash Street, you hang a left, and here you are.
Yeah, it's all right down the street.
Where are you from originally?
Born in Philly, raised in Delaware, and then obviously spent the past 26 years in Baltimore. So
wow. So this is a move for you.
This is a move for me and the family. Yeah,
four boys, right?
Four boys. They're all here right now. My oldest will go back to school, finish up a senior year back in Maryland.
In high school, you're talking
about? In high school, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's in McDonough, and, which is right by the old facility where I used to work. And but then the other three are out here and excited to be here. Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, a lot of folks don't, you know, pay attention to that as fans. That you got family, and you had one kid basically going into senior year in high school.
Right.
You're not just going to move him out here to finish things up.
Yeah, no, that was a challenge. You have to weigh all those things. And he goes to the school he goes to, they offer boarding, and it's great. It's a great school. And
oh, great.
All his friends who had a chance to stay home, gave him the option and finish there with his friends.
So will he come out for the Har Bowl? Will that happen?
Oh, yeah. So now that's going to cost me. Him going, one, I got to pay for boarding, but two, I'm going to have to pay for all the travel back here. So it's going to be an expensive year for me. But
sure.
But he'll be out here as often as he can, and he'll be there. Yeah, he's going to skip a couple of days of school to get here early for the hardball, and then
just have Jim write him a note.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, excuse him. Yeah.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com. Or just stop by the general manager of the Los Angeles Chargers, who have moved in their new beautiful facility right across the street from our studios. Joe Hortiz is here in studio. When did you first meet Jim Harbaugh in your life?
In my life, basically 26 years ago. He was the starting quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens my first year working for the Ravens. And so I got a chance to, you know, engage with him there, both on the practice field, catch some balls from him, and then we'd get in the racquetball court. He'd recruit me in because he knew I played, and him and Eric Zier, who was our backup quarterback.
Yeah,
they'd have, like, violent games in there, and they wanted to play cutthroat one day, and so they brought me in, and knowing I'd played, and I'm thinking I'm going to show these vets, these pro athletes, that I can hang with them, and it was ugly. It was ugly. They were throwing me out of the way, you know, just... I saw his level of competitiveness right then and there, and I was like, "That's what a pro looks like."
He
right
plays
there.
Racquetball.
He played racquetball. It was racquetball then. Yeah.
Okay, he attacks that like with an enthusiasm as well,
just like everything else,
unknown to mankind. Yeah. So you kept in touch with him in certain ways.
When we hired John in Baltimore,
right.
He was at Jim was at Stanford, and so got to know him then going into the school. Certainly, the brothers helped the connection and
right.
You know, just really a professional, knew him from a professional sense. And then obviously when he'd come into town, we'd talk about coaches, you know, as he's looking for coaches in the college level, and then would help him. Like, he'd call me about players that were thinking about coming out. So,
right.
You know, professional relationship with some, you know, added bonus, you know, with the brothers. And then and we got talking as I was getting, you know, some interest in some GM spots, talked to him about, you know, and working together, and here we are.
And here you are.
Yeah, it's a blessing.
It really is amazing, because a lot of people, I was talking just yesterday on yesterday's program with my colleague, Ian Rappaport at NFL Network and NFL Media Group. And he was saying he was at your facility just 2 days ago and that there's something about Jim that feels different. And I'm like, I don't know. Because again, I'm wasn't around him every day in San Francisco, and certainly not at Michigan either. Yeah. I just think the guy looks happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that he's in a spot where he's back in the NFL, coming off of hanging the banner, mission accomplished in the alma mater.
Yeah.
And you guys are working together. You got Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
At the top, obviously, of a roster that you're generally managing.
Yeah.
Is it that simple? Not to psychoanalyze him on live radio and television.
No, yeah, I don't want to get too deep into that. But like, you know, I think Jim loves the game and loves coaching, loves the players, loves the organization, loves every organization he's ever been a part of, and he pours his passion into it, and just has fun doing it. And that's all I've known being around him. You know, as he was as a player for us in Baltimore that 1 year, when I've seen him at Stanford, at Michigan, when he's over at the facility with John. Obviously, I know John really well, and John's the same way. I mean, like, John's like a brother to me, working as long as I did with him. And the passion they both have for the game of football and the love they have for the players and everyone in the organization, you just see it out there. And the facility is unbelievable. The Spanos family, Dean, John, AG, what they build out there, it just, you can't help it. Come in and be excited to get to work every day.
GM Joe Hortiz of the Chargers here on the Rich Eisen Show. And so your first order of business was to make some tough decisions,
Yeah.
Involving some Chargers that had been around for a while, including Keenan Allen.
Right.
And what do you say to Chargers fans who are wondering why he is no longer with the team, and Mike Williams also is now on the Jets, and that's what many people associated the previous Chargers regime identity with, certainly on the offensive side of the ball. How do you address that?
You know, going into it, you knew it was going to be hard. We talked about it. You know, we had four big salaries with four great players. And, you know, and so we knew we were going to have to make hard decisions.
You're including Bosa and Mac as the
Bosa
other two?
Yeah, Bosa and Mac, yeah, right, okay. And Keenan and Mike. And, you know, we were fluid in it. And we just talked with all of them and the representation. They all were great. And they all understood it. We all, you know, in all the conversations, everyone involved understood that there was moves that we were forced to make. And we had to do it to create opportunities for us to get other players, you know, and it was going to be hard, and just it's the way it worked out. And excited that we have Khalil and Joey, and I wish Keenan the best. And I know it's hard to take a player of that caliber and move on from for the fans. And but we're working to backfill the roster, and that's what we've been doing. You know, we brought in some good players. DJ has looked great out there, and obviously getting Ladd in the draft, and Brendan and Cornelius, and then. You know, so we're making the room competitive. Are they the big names that Keenan is and was here? No, but I have confidence and faith in those guys are going to step up.
Well, and in terms of making a roster that's in Jim's vision, for the lack of a better phrase here, right?
Yeah.
How do you go about that?
Yeah, you know, you come into it, and you know the identity I'm from and what we did in Baltimore, physical team. And certainly it matches up with what Jim's done throughout his entire career. So we, you know, you pour your efforts in, you pour your resources in, you know, getting Joe Alton with the first pick, I mean, changes the dynamic of the entire offensive line. And you know, it sets a tone, physicality, but we're still going to throw the ball. And so you want playmakers outside, and you just keep trying to collect them.
No, in turn, let's just take it one piece at a time here. Joe Alt, right tackle.
Yeah.
That's not what he...
Not what he was.
Well, that's not why he was the fifth overall pick, right?
Yeah.
Like you would normally take that and put that guy left tackle. You just happen to have an all pro already sitting
Absolutely.
There. That you
Right, right, right.
So how is he adjusting to kind of flipping his style of play?
Yeah, he's
here?
Been great. He's been great. He's such a good athlete, so smart, so driven. I mean, honestly, early in OTAs, you just watch him out there and you're like, man, he's not having any issues with it. He really just like switching feet, but he's just so athletic. Some guys have a little bit of a transition period, and you really haven't seen that with him. And his technique's so sound, and again, he's so intelligent and understands how to reverse the technique, so to speak. And really doesn't look like he's missing a beat being on the right side. And you know, you watch him, he looks like a veteran out there already.
Well, and obviously, I don't need to ask you what they can do, because you know Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins since they were Ravens.
Right.
So is it as simple as basically seeing what the Ravens did offensively, and obviously knowing what Greg Roman has done offensively with Jim before,
right?
And saying that's what the Chargers are going to look like.
I think we're going to be a balanced team in terms of running and passing. I do, you know, we got Justin Herbert back there, and
that's the whole.
Know,
that's you know, that's why it's difficult, that, sort of, yeah, to compute. Yeah. Like, to you have somebody who can push the ball down the field?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like him, and that's what Charger fans have been waiting to see from this guy with consistency. And now Keenan's gone and Mike's gone, and those are guys you might be able to push the ball down the field, and also spread it out on the field, throwing it. You're bringing in these guys to run it.
We have runners, but we also have, if you look outside, we got guys that can get downfield, and they have speed, vertical explosion, and suddenness to get open. So, you know, you try to build a team, a diverse skill set at the all positions, and I think we have that at wideout. I really do. And then, obviously, adding Gus and JK, two guys I'm very familiar with, and Greg's very familiar with, physical, athletic runners, versatile, both of them. And come with the right mindset and work ethic and mentality that we want to incorporate here.
So the concept of Justin being a 4,000-yard passer, should we slow our roll on that?
Justin's going to throw the ball around now. I mean, we're going to throw it. You know, there's going to be some games where we throw it more, and there's going to be some games where we run it more. It's just the game, the opponent, the way the flow of the game is going to dictate all that. But, you know, Greg's an excellent play caller. I've had a chance to be around him for a long time. Two different stints in Baltimore, and certainly we've seen what he's done in San Francisco and all his different stops. So
GM Joe Ortiz here from the Chargers. So what is your gig about now? Right now, it's just when getting ready for initial cuts. What is your gig about?
All the scouts came in town at the start of camp and getting the college guys ready to get on the road, prepared to get on the road.
Yeah,
the pro guys have been working our roster all through OTAs, and then now it's time to start paying attention to other teams. We're going to pay attention to ours, set the 53-man roster, but we're also going to be looking elsewhere outside to see if there's guys like Shake Free that can help us out. So. Kind of looking all around the league, and then the college guys are getting all prepped, and so
this, your scout, you're holding meetings with scouts who are identifying guys who might be cut on other teams.
Absolutely, yeah. There's a process. Yeah, you go through the fall or the summer, and you assign each scout. Lou Clark, who's our director of pro, he signs all the in-house guys' teams.
Yeah,
and they're responsible for their teams, and they start identifying players on the roster that. Hey, they may become available, and then we'll watch them play their preseason games and read up on them in the media and local media and track them and see who's going to be available and if they'll help us.
And you meet with Jim every day? Is this a process also?
Jim and I will meet with the whole staff, his coaching staff and the football staff. We have those in the morning, and then we'll just have conversations for the day. Always stay in communication, always keep each other abreast of what we're thinking.
Is it true you used some time at the combine to install offense and stuff like that?
They did, yeah, absolutely. Yep, we in the hotel, coaching staff, because there is some dead time at the combine.
Right.
You know the way it's set up, and in the mornings, coaching and offense, defense coaching staffs were in separate conference rooms working on the install because it's a new staff,
yeah.
And guys are arriving at different times. You know, so as the staff got put together, they had a chance to get together and. Be efficient with that free time.
Yeah, because I did notice Michigan season lasted a little late.
A little longer than most, yeah.
I noticed that.
Yeah,
Deep into February, yeah, right, January.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, I met Jim for the first time when he was a quarterback as well, but it was at the University of Michigan. He was my freshman year quarterback.
Is that right?
Yeah.
There you go.
1986.
That's something we have in common.
1986. I will never forget. I'm on State Street. I'm going to the ticket office, and out came him and Jumbo Elliott from the same car.
And you were a freshman?
I was.
That's
I was
awesome.
Starstruck.
Yeah, 100%.
On the spot, because that's Jim Harbaugh. That's
yeah.
Mr. Wolverine. I mean, he's the guy that was guaranteeing stuff against Ohio State, pissing off Bo, then cashing in by saying, we're going to beat Ohio State. Then they did. And then they did lose the Rose Bowl to Arizona State, but it was the best Michigan loss ever because Ohio State hired their coach figuring that he could beat Michigan with regularity. It was John Cooper.
There you go.
Not to troll all over, but that's the first time I met
Jim. Going to colleges,
I know you do. I know you do. And Ohio State sends some great players to the next level for sure. You know, and so obviously these are exciting times in that regard. I'll take a shot on this one, Joe. Have you watched the Hard Knocks on the Giants? Have you watched any of that?
A little bit of it. I've been at the office a lot, so I haven't watched too much.
Sure.
I've watched more of it from a social media aspect.
Right. So are you surprised that this sort of stuff is out there for people to hear and see, or
it's something you're not used to if you've never gone through it.
Does it sound familiar? The cadence in these conversations,
everyone, they're a little different in every building, but those conversations are had, and that's the way we're heading. And we started in Baltimore in 2001.
That's right.
That was the original.
I was not.
I tried to avoid the camera as much as I could.
Were you on the field when Billick was trying to test the turf in the Veterans Stadium and said, we're not playing?
Yep. I was there on the sideline. Yep.
Wow. So, yeah, because I do remember that first Hard Knocks.
There was a big old divot there. The seam. And it was, you literally sunk down, so. And you had to get used to, the boom mics would come out of nowhere back then, and just gotta be careful what you're saying.
But Billick wanted to do it to keep people sharp, right?
Yeah.
Like you're coming off the Super Bowl and we're gonna get everybody
stay
in
focused,
here.
Stay locked in. Yeah. And it was a neat story, it was a great concept and it still is, and, certainly it's attracts the attention of the audience.
And again, we've just met, and you strike me as a guy that doesn't want to pound his chest a little bit here, but I'll give you the opportunity. Somebody that you've scouted in your career that you're like, let's go get this guy, and he turned out to be. Who are you most proud of somebody that you've pounded a table for?
I really, it, in Baltimore, it was a collective process. And
but you had to have pounded the table for somebody at some point.
We all did. We really did. It's a group process.
With Ozzy at the head of the table.
Ozzy's at the head. Eric there next to him, and then Eric shifted to the head. And you know, there's multiple scouts that look at every player. Same way here in Los Angeles. You know, we do it together. The coaches get involved. We want to find the best players for our organization, best people for our organization, who we all like. You know, you want to find a player that the coaches like, the scouts like. There's no one individual driving it. That's the way I was taught, and that's what I believe
but
in.
But there's an eye in Ortiz.
No,
so
yeah,
come
there
on.
Is. What, no.
So there's not one guy in your, like, where you're sitting in the stands, you're like, that guy's flashing. And then you brought him to the table at least.
There's not one guy.
Really?
There's not, because it really is, Rich. Like in Baltimore, it's a process. Like one scout identifies him, likes him. Maybe another scout likes him more. Maybe one scout looks at him. Another scout goes and works him out and talks about how great he was. But it's a group process. We do it together, and that's the way we're doing it here.
And how many times when you were in a meeting with scouts in Baltimore? And you liked a guy, but immediately disliked him because Daniel Jeremiah pounded the table
all the time. You know, that's the guy that drove us. You know, and so DJ, man, he's the best. You know, no, I tell you what, DJ, the crew he was a part of,
yes,
so he wrote some of the best reports. And it became,
what do you mean?
Like the summaries, the creativity in the summaries.
Really, his creative writing.
Yeah, it was excellent. You know, and. It was like a competition in there. So
we didn't know that about DJ.
Joe Douglas was in there.
That's right.
Chad Alexander, who's our assistant GM.
Right.
Andy Weidel, who's the assistant GM of Pittsburgh. DJ Jeremiah Washburn, who's now coaching with the Eagles. They'd all get in there, and there were some witty reports being read.
What's it going to be like before I let you go back across the street? And I greatly appreciate you taking the time during training camp to. By the way, you're the first Charger to be here.
That's awesome.
With the Chargers. Now we're neighbors, you know. So what's it going to be like, do you think, in SoFi? Raiders in the house, week one.
Yeah.
And you know, Raiders are from Los Angeles as well,
right,
from back in the day, and fans are crazy for them.
Yeah.
But this is a new era, new look. Charger team,
yeah.
Jim back on the sideline.
Right.
You know him. His hands are going to be on his khakis, knees, right? What's it going to be like, do you think?
It's going to be exciting. It really is. I mean, the atmosphere is going to be great. Certainly, I know there's a Raiders presence here from the past. But, man, if you've been out of training camp just to see the fans, the excitement, you know, I'm expecting a great contingent of Chargers fans in there. And we're going to be fired up. We're going to be ready to go.
Is it fair to say as well that, you know, when you're a general manager and you're putting a roster together, you do look at the team that potentially you have to get past?
Yeah,
the
absolutely.
Chiefs as well?
Yeah. You know the division you're in.
Yes.
And you can't ignore it. You know, they're the teams you got to beat to win the division, to guarantee a spot in the playoffs, right? You win the division, you're guaranteed in. So
do you have some Chiefs beaters on your team?
You have some Chiefs beaters. You have some Chiefs schemes. You know, absolutely.
Okay.
You know, our coaching staff is phenomenal. Jesse on defense, Greg on offense, leading the charge on both sides of the ball, and Fick on special teams. So they're going to, you know, those guys can develop some schemes, and we're going to put our best foot forward.
Well, speaking on behalf of a lot of Charger fans, I'll just give you this information. You probably know it already. Number 87 on the Chiefs catches a lot of passes.
He does.
And he, you know, with all due respect to the Spanos, he can claim ownership of the Chargers in many different ways.
Well, I tell you what, I've seen him a lot in a different stadium and with a different
just
team.
Last year.
Yeah, and he's a great player. And
but you got something.
Well, we know him. You know, you're aware of him, so you do your best to stop him. You know, he's hard to stop, though. I've been on plenty of teams where we've tried to stop him, and he's going to get his. You know, he's a great player.
All right, brother. Hey, but before I let you go, we're going to debut a new segment with you here, if you don't mind.
All right.
Over the years, we've had a segment called the Bill Belichick press conference moment of the day, pretty much. Okay. And now Bill is, as you know, now a part of the media. He's for the first time in 50 years, not part of a coaching staff. So we have decided to rename the segment the Jim Harbaugh press conference moment.
Okay.
It's called the Harbaugh Files because, you know, he loves
Rockford Files.
That's
exactly.
Okay. So we're debuting the very first edition of the Harbaugh Files with you here today, if you don't mind.
Awesome.
Talking about the glide approach to training camp. Hit it.
This is Jim Rockford at the Tone Leap. your name and message. I'll get back to you.
Sometimes people that are standing on third base think they hit a triple, but they didn't.
The Harbaugh Files.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the analogy of a rocket taking off, you know? I mean, and then before you know it, boom, you know? Or a plane going down the runway. I mean, starts at a dead stop, and then it builds up speed, gets faster, faster, going so fast that it just has to leave the ground. And then, I mean, there's a little bit of a glide that takes place even then. And then before you know it, you're up to 30,000 feet.
The Harbaugh Files.
Fantastic. Oh. There's the debut.
It resonates. It makes sense, you know? I mean, we've all been on that plane, you know? Just, we've all been there, you know? So.
Oh, my God. The rocket ship.
Yeah. Try to be one.
By the way, I'm not even going to ask if he does it in the meetings because that's Jim.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
100%.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It is the glide effect.
I'm speechless.
Well,
I'm without speech.
This is if we're not going to have the Belichick press conference moment of the day.
Yeah, no, this is perfect.
I mean, it's a no-brainer.
We're pivoting.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, listen. I mean, when you sit there and listen to the glide, it makes sense to you. You know, as you're listening, like, okay, you can relate it to how we're going to start camp. You know, and just we're not slingshotting off. We're right. Taking our time, getting down.
It's not like a rocket going straight up.
Yeah. It doesn't explode up. It just climbs slowly and then takes off.
Okay. You know? And so where are we in that process? Are we at 10,000 feet?
Yeah,
where
we're
are
up
we?
There. We're
okay,
up there.
So the Wi-Fi is working?
Yeah, the Wi-Fi is working. Okay. You know, we've got contact with Houston and, you know, so we're up there, you know, and getting ready to break the atmosphere, Earth's atmosphere.
Okay, so we're above the clouds.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Joe Ortiz, thanks for the time, man.
Appreciate your guys' time.
Anytime. Listen, tell everybody we say hello. Do you need a housewarming gift?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Everybody's
you know,
good.
You know what? I did lose my best dad ever sign in the move. So, like, you know, I don't know if that's it, you know, but like it disappeared on me. So,
no,
you know,
I've been accused of being sticky fingered with things that I really want, but this one's mine.
Well, they did tell me it was a tie. So, like, now I know who
well,
I tied. You
yeah,
know, so,
well, yeah. You, actually, I've just got three kids.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if it comes down to numbers, I might lose the numbers game to you.
Yeah.
Thanks for the time, Joe.
Appreciate it, man.
The general manager of the Los Angeles Chargers is here. We're back with more 844-204-RICH, number to dial.
Nice.
It's kickoff time, and Believe Podcasts are here to get you ready for the season.
He wanted to change the culture, and he wanted me to be a part of that.
With Believe, you get immediate reactions, game previews, and expert analysis from all 32 teams, plus all of your favorite college teams.
He's just rare in just about everything he does.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
This was good for everybody.
Just search Believe. That's BLEAV podcast, wherever you listen.
Taking a 747 and driving it into a building. Did you really do that? That actually happened?
Yeah, we did. We really did it. We looked at doing it with miniatures and CG and set builds and everything. And when you added up all those numbers, it occurred to us that it might actually be cheaper to buy a real plane. originally, we had our eye on like a 737, something like that.
Yes.
And we went out to the... the airplane graveyard of where we could buy an old 737. And while we were looking at the 737s, I started looking across the field. You could see these MD-11s and 747s. And I sort of thought, and I said to the line producer, well, hang on a second, why can't we get one of those big ones? So let's if we're going to do it. I actually had the unique experience of impulse buying a 747. And then getting to crash it.
Before I let you go, what is your remote drop movie, Christopher? Wherever you're watching television and you see a film is a favorite of yours, or you just don't mind binging it, even if it's not yours, obviously. Which one is it? Just a fan of film?
I haven't heard the remote drop as a phrase. That's a fantastic one.
There you go.
Yeah, I love it. And there are so many. I mean, I think by Kubrick, it's a remote drop. But some of the great comedies, too. And I mean, Talladega Nights, I'm never going to be able to switch that off.
Okay, now then. Really?
What?
The Ballad of Ricky Bobby is a Christopher Nolan mic drop movie. Is that what you're saying?
If you ain't first, you're last.
You're not wrong, Christopher. You're not wrong. You know, I'm just that's fantastic. That does Will Ferrell know this? Did you just reveal that?
He does now.
Oh, yes. Back on the Rich Eisen Show. Game time tickets. Make sure that the app is on a mobile device right near you and start buying tickets to anything in your area. You can get sports, music, comedy, any event in your area. Game time is going to be offering you an opportunity to get a seat, and not just get a seat, but see the view of the stage or the field from your seat, and not just any seat, but get all-in pricing for that particular ticket, so you are not surprised whatsoever by the cost of the ticket. That's how you take guesswork completely out of buying any ticket with Game Time, especially baseball right now that we are heating up on deadline trade day, and there's so much interest going on for so many teams. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use my code Rich, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH, $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Fun chat with Joe Ortiz right there, the general manager of the Los Angeles Chargers. Guys, they are going to run the ball. And, you know, Austin Eckler could be, he kind of gave us a heads up. Anytime he's been interviewed, certainly when he's been on this show, he's on the Washington Commanders right now. They basically said to him, you know, they said to him, we're going to run it a ton. And he's just not a volume guy. I guess. You know, or the volume guy that they were looking for.
Maybe that's a little more accurate. I also think he was just too expensive.
Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins. Let me tell you something. To use the, since Silence of the Lambs is everywhere these days, for crazy reasons, the line that I always think of from Silence of the Lambs is, you covet what you see every day, right?
Yep.
Jim Harbaugh had a front row seat to J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah, but that J.K. Dobbins was a long time ago.
J.K. Dobbins was a long time ago and knee surgeries ago.
Yeah.
But the J.K. Dobbins I saw when I was in a production meeting 2 years ago for the Baltimore Ravens coming off of one of the surgeries, he is a prideful SOB, man.
Yeah.
And so Gus may be toting the rock the most, and then he comes in for these carries, and it's not going to be on Justin Herbert's shoulders. Second and three instead of second and seven. Third and two instead of third and six. Fourth and an inch instead of fourth and five, and they're going to still go for it regardless of where they are on the field.
Everybody's got a plan until they're punched in the face.
No doubt about it, brother. They want to be the ones to punch you in the face, though.
I love saying that. I love that attitude for them and for Herbert, because, like, that's a guy who, you know, he takes a lot of crap from people because, you know, he's got an under 500 career record. What does he really want? They blew that huge lead in the playoff game. He definitely needs some help from the line, from the run game, from the football gods. So I hope they can stick to it. It's just, you know, kind of remains to be seen.
I think that's going to be their plan. That's it. And some Charger fan, you know, Joe Ortiz is not going to sit here and say, yeah, my quarterback's not going to throw for 4,000 yards. I asked him point blank, are we just going to take the 4,000-yard season and throw it out the window? It's like, no, we're going to push it down the field. And I'm not going to point out to the GM here, you know, we're seeing all these 7-on-7, 11-on-11 videos that come out of across the street where Quentin Johnson's dropping the ball.
He's trending yesterday because of the drop passes.
Listen, that was last year. This is this year. And just because he did it in practice now doesn't mean that's the guy he is.
Of course.
Because, again, if Jim wants to covet what he sees, he got a pretty damn good front row seat to that kid, too, quite recently. I did as well in Arizona on that January 1st day, and that sucked. December 31st, pardon me. I got home just in time to watch Georgia beat Ohio State. The ball dropped.
But he got Ladd. You know, that's a guy who had a lot of success.
So, we're just going to have to get used to a different Charger team. And I love it. He's like, yeah, there's a Charger. There'll be a Chiefs scheme and Chiefs players on the Chargers. There damn well better be, right?
Yeah, maybe cover 87.
That's why I said.
I know, but that dude has destroyed them in the last few years.
Annually. particularly here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
In that stadium.
What do you have, 3 or 4 touchdowns in that game?
Feels like it.
Yeah.
We got one more Jim Harbaugh press conference moment. Oh, I guess we're calling it the Harbaugh Files.
Oh, goodness.
Got another one. We might have multiple Harbaugh Files, Des. I'm glad that this came off the top of my dome yesterday, because there's no more Bill Belichick in the NFL to have press conferences.
Right.
So there's no more Belichick press conference moments.
I have no explanation for what happened.
Well, here we go. This is Jim talking about what are you going to be like, Jim, when we ask you about an injury update?
Oh.
Rolling.
This is Jim Rockford. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
Sometimes people that are standing on third base think they hit a triple, but they didn't.
The Harbaugh Files.
So for clarity, whenever I'm asked about anybody's medical condition other than my own, the following will be my best effort to relay information. I am not medically qualified to categorize or speculate as to how someone else is feeling. The best I can do is say that someone is working through something. Two, I get the report from those who are qualified and then follow the instructions. Three, if at times I look or sound like I am not a medical expert in the field of medicine, guilty as charged.
The Harbaugh Files.
He may be better than Belichick, I think.
Well, in certain ways.
This is going to be more wacky.
Yeah, there's like speaking more wacky.
Well, we'll see what happens during the season. Right now, it's all
more of this. Come on, you think he's going to switch this up?
Yeah, he ain't changing.
If they're winning,
if they're 7-2. It's going to be wackier than ever.
3-4, 3-5.
We'll find out.
Could be like the X-Files if they're not doing well.
We'll find out. See how he's playing off the files word?
Yeah, that was.
Did you get that one?
He's doing his best.
Just work the faders, Mike.
That was funny. You can admit it.
Was it?
Yeah. A little bit. I tried.
Kyle Brandt's going to make his way to our studio here from Good Morning Football and Good Morning Football Overtime. He's on both of them, which is good because they're back-to-back. One of them you can see right here on the Roku channel. He's in studio, the Miz behind him, right here on a busy day. Still here?
Yeah, I'm still. I'm trying to recover from these Harbaugh files. They're goofy.
Dude,
well, plus, I have no frame of reference. I don't know what Rockford Files is. So I have.
Oh, you don't know the Rockford Files?
No, so I'm trying to piece it all together.
Oh, see?
You never saw the Rockford Files?
Guys, I'm in my 40s.
Okay. All right, so are you telling us we need to revisit the title of the segment?
No, I like it. I just have some notes.
Oh,
you're giving the notes. Give the notes.
It's a little long. The open is a little long.
Okay.
And like the open shouldn't be longer than the bite.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, the bite's pretty long.
It's not.
All right, we'll do this offline.
Just saying.
We'll do this offline.
I mean, I'm just,
we'll do this offline.
We're trying to get younger. We're trying to get hipper. We're trying to get cooler. I don't know if we need a, what show was that on? What year was that?
We're talking 70s.
But the reason why we're doing it is because, his reference is he lives like Jim Rockford.
Right.
Okay.
Because he used to live in a trailer.
Oh, thank you for finishing the sentence. I thought he was testing me.
I like the name of it. I like the Harbaugh Files as a name.
Okay. All right.
So
we'll
the
work
show
on
is
it.
Good. You'd like the
Chris,
show.
Chris, we're working.
I get it.
We're workshopping.
I think it's funny. It's a great segment. We're going to fill a lot of these because Harbaugh is a weird guy.
He's not, excuse me.
No,
he's weird.
Eccentric. Thank you.
Weird. It's weird.
He can coach. He's a hell of a coach.
Dude. He's weird.
Holy crap, is he a good coach?
He's going to plus him up. They're going to get plussed up. Man. Plus 7, baby. Just like the Niners.
They're going to be so good.
12-win Chargers.
Come on.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast, season 4. I'm glad that it's over.
As we know now that season 5 is supposed to be one of our better seasons.
Obviously, the tattoo storyline, you know how I feel about that.
You hating that storyline brought me a lot of joy because I kept waiting to see how it was going to keep going and then how they would somehow settle it.
Binge seasons 1 through 4 of Talkville before season 5 begins, wherever you listen.